Send a movie idea.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules are simple. We can discuss as many ideas as we like, but only one can be taken to the next stage where it will be used as the basis for Jay Kwan's long-awaited follow-up single. It's been 14 years, Jay. 14 years. I'm Joel, a man who puts the pansy in chimpanzee, and across from me is John Harris, a man who only last week saw Chocolate Rain for the first time and has been sharing it with everyone he meets, declaring YouTube the future of videotape.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, you sent it to me 10 times.
Tay Zonday.
Yeah.
It's great.
We
it's
know really about Tay Zonday.
His voice, right? His voice is really deep.
It's so deep. It's, yeah. Oh,
good stuff.
It's like how you might imagine Chocolate Rain to sound.
Yeah.
John, we're here to pitch movies. Pitch me a movie.
Michael Jackson and the Lightning Thief.
I knew where that was going as soon as you said Jackson. Because Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief, probably my favourite films of all time. I've not really seen it. Does he steal lightning and then use it like Thor?
I think that he is the son of Zeus, which
would
make him Hercules.
Percy.
All I know is it's a family romp with kind of mythical creatures and gods and stuff.
Okay, all right. I'm into it. Was it based on a book?
Yeah, series of kids' books, classic stuff.
Did they make a second one?
No. Oh, maybe they did. Mm. I think it was one of those ones. You know, like they keep plugging away at them, like the Maze Runner series and
that's
Chronicles of Narnia. They just keep trying, but... Sorry, guys.
You're not Harry Potter.
You're not Harry Potter. You haven't put Michael Jackson in your lead role. What do you want from us?
So Michael Jackson quite wanted to act in movies, didn't he?
Yeah.
He famously had the rights for Spider-Man for a long time and tried to make himself play the role of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Interesting is definitely a word I use to describe that.
So I think when he passed away, there were a lot of things on his estate. Like he owned quite a few film rights, or a bid on quite a few film rights and stuff, which is fascinating.
Yeah.
So I see this being a thing. I could see maybe if he'd lived a bit longer, he would have read Percy Jackson of the Lightning Thief and been like, you know, it's just a switch of the first names.
Great, great stuff. Great content. And a killer soundtrack, guaranteed.
It's quite late Jacko.
Oh, do you think he'll insist on making new music for it?
It'll be like Rock My World era Jacko. Which is a good song.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Maybe that then. But he did Moonwalker.
He did Moonwalker.
Have you seen Moonwalker?
I haven't seen Moonwalker.
There's a bit where he turns into a plasticine rabbit. That's all I remember.
Why?
Why not, mate? I don't know. It's just Michael Jackson.
Have you seen Thriller? Have you seen his movie Thriller?
It's basically a movie, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really good.
The problem with this one, James, is... from James, I think I got too ahead of myself in shouting the movie title. A problem with this one, James, is we haven't seen Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief.
That is a problem. Oh, is it? Is it a problem?
How do you steal lightning? How would you steal lightning?
I steal lightning?
You'd need gloves.
Metal gloves? No, because it was...
No, that's a conductor.
But then what... You can't catch it. What are those cages called? Faraday cage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, the band Everything. I would do an invert. I'd make a Faraday cup. A big Faraday bucket.
I've got it. Is The Lightning Thief a sequel to Hurricane Heist?
Yes, it is.
This is a series of
just
films.
Nicking weather. I like that.
Yeah.
The lead man is called Nick Weather.
Nick Weather.
Yeah. There you go. Played by Michael Jackson. Why not? That was fun.
What about this one from Alice? Kinex Machina. We've already had T-Rex Machina.
We have, yeah.
But I like Kinex Machina purely for the image of a crazy scientist being like, do you believe she is a human? And it's just like a Kinex figure.
There was a point in the 2000s where I thought Kinex was going to do it, man.
What, take over Lego?
I thought it was going to do it. Lego had a wobble. Lego had a pre-franchise Legos wobble, didn't they?
Yeah, I think
Kinex was so cool.
You're right. When we were kids, because then when my little brother was a kid, they came back.
Yeah. Mate, and they're not Bionics. Going away. I would say they're not going to go away anytime soon. But They famously had a wobble, and they reinvented themselves, and now they're obviously the biggest kids' toy on earth.
Yeah.
But there was a couple of weeks there where I thought Kinex might do it.
Kinex.
Imagine people used to make unbelievable things out of Kinex. You remember? Merry-go-rounds?
Yeah, it was...
Roller coasters?
It's a lot more mechanical. Not as mechanical as Meccano.
Which, I mean, come on, guys. That's never had a shot. Is it still going?
Yeah, probably.
Oh,
I enjoyed
How many people do you reckon work for Meccano? Three?
Yeah. It was a plucky upstart. You know? Don't totally take them out of the race, but probably.
Yeah.
Always the bridesmaid. Oh. Kinex are always the bridesmaid.
Famously founded by Mick Arno. Michael Arno.
Right, in this alternate universe where they had taken over,
yeah,
what would the Kinex movie be like?
Oh, that's a good question. It'd be a lot more dense and complicated.
There'd be no human characters.
No, there couldn't be a single human character.
That'd be awful.
Yeah, hang on, what would it be? It'd be like...
just shots of cities and stuff.
Yeah.
Which is a bit like Kaya Nutskartsy, which is a documentary that I enjoy. But there's people in that. Even Kaya Nutskartsy has people in it.
Yeah, don't have to tell me, mate. I watch it all the time. I really love watching it.
What about this one from Tim? A family adopts a German composer, japes and hilarity ensues. Beethoven. Joel, if you haven't seen the film where...
So they laid... yeah, okay, sorry.
Beethoven.
Yeah. I was thinking that the word bait had been used,
no.
But it hasn't.
No.
Yeah, I have seen Beethoven. The dog, he dies. but there's a sequel.
Spoiler?
Weird.
It's probably his son.
His son?
Did you see him have any babies?
It's like the shots like the end of Godzilla where you see an egg.
Yeah. A dog egg.
Yeah, that's what they do, don't they? Anyone ever seen a dog give birth? No.
No, eggs.
Okay, so they adopt the German composer.
Yeah.
Was Beethoven definitely German?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Which one was Austrian?
He died in Austria, but he was born in Germany. He might be Austrian and born in Germany, actually.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm always,
easy,
always
easy.
Doing that.
Yeah,
always
yeah.
doing that. Okay, yeah, German composer. What, he lives in like a little...
It's like an
American... at the end of the garden?
Yeah.
Okay. Has he got a piano?
Well, you'd hope so.
He is a composer on a lead. This feels weird. Doesn't it feel weird? Someone's going to step in.
What?
Aren't they?
Oh, like human services?
Is it like a crust for the other composers?
I like that.
What do you get them to do? Play their music.
Yeah.
That's just a gig.
You get them to play the music and then they're... Oh, by the way,
give it a treat.
I don't know if you have this, but in my head, they're like humans, but a lot smaller.
Well, in my head, they're humans on all fours, but they've got like big floppy dog ears and a nose. I don't know what that says about me.
Yeah, okay, fine, that. And then, so they'd play a little lovely composition and then they run around in like a little tube and stuff.
Where does Bark feature in this?
We're finished.
Do you want one from me?
Yes, please.
This is from Jordan. Me, myself, the King and Irene. You're having that, aren't you? I think that would be the best title we've ever had.
Me, myself. Okay.
So Me, Myself and Irene is from, even for a man who is forgiving of Jim Carrey's filmography.
Yeah.
It's bad. Have you seen it?
It's jokes about schizophrenia.
Yeah, but it was funny then, 2005. So Me, Myself and Irene, a guy has a dual personality and one of them's really wired and crazy.
Yeah.
And Irene is obviously the girl he's going after. And I think, from what I recall, Irene quite likes the bad boy. But obviously he's trying to shake the bad boy half because he does terrible things. The King and I... School teacher goes to Bangkok, Thailand.
Yeah.
To deal with the king. So Jim Carrey goes there.
It's
a sequel.
Oh, I thought Jim...
Jim Carrey's going to be the king.
Yeah, exactly. Remember, this is in 2005 when these things were apparently okay.
He was the
king.
He
plays the king of Bangkok.
I'm on board with that. He the alter ego gets himself in so much trouble that he has to flee the country, and through a series of japes, he becomes the king of Bangkok. Me, myself, the king, and Irene. That's, I mean, that's golden. Jordan, you're a genius.
How did japes lead you to become the king of the country?
Watch the movie, mate.
Does he marry into the family?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, fine.
One from Marty.
Yep.
Sherlock Holmes under the hammer.
My immediate thought is it's like a Bond torture device.
Oh, really? So that's where you went straight away.
And it's like the hammer's about to go down on Sherlock's head.
Okay, so that's actually quite good, isn't it?
Yeah, you expect
that,
me
but
to
that just sounds like a that just sounds like a line from a film.
Yeah,
we've really got Holmes under that hammer now.
Yeah,
yeah, and then Dion Dublin just walks on screen, soundtracking it with his tube.
You say that sounds like a line from a film. Like, is any of the other concepts we come up with anything more than a line from a film?
Sherlock Holmes under the hammer. He's always been a force for good, Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
So he decides to become a force for pure evil, and Classic. A state agent.
You can't say that.
Can't I?
I don't know.
What are they going to do? Stiff me?
Yeah.
He becomes an estate agent. And he sells all the remaining houses on Baker Street to idiots.
You put yourself in a... Why would he sell the remaining houses on the street to idiots?
So he can be the smartest man in Baker Street.
He probably is the smartest man in Baker Street.
He doesn't know that, though.
Yeah, true.
A load of geniuses move into Baker Street, and he has to find some quirk in local law to get them out because he feels compromised.
Yeah.
There you go.
Perfect.
I don't know about perfect.
Sherlock Holmes under the hammer. What about this one from Glenn? Gangs of York.
Good. It's great. A prequel.
Yeah. Before they all moved to New York.
Before they all moved to New York, yeah. So, have you been to York?
No.
It's really beautiful.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah. Have you been to New York?
No.
Hmm.
Have you been to New York?
I've not been to New York, but I've been to York.
Well, that's all that matters. For this film pitch, that's all that matters.
Try to imagine what the gangs would be like in York. Quite obedient. I imagine the turf war being mostly around a library.
Yeah. So one of the gangs has been a bit too noisy and the other gang is just shushing them.
Was the library at your school a place of real mischief?
Yeah.
Serious mischief at school libraries.
You'd make more noise in a library than you would in any other room.
Do you know what people did at mine?
No. It'd be weird if I said yes.
They used to take books and put them in people's blazer pockets so that when they left the library, the alarms went off. And everyone would scream, "Thief!"
It's just banter. It's great just, stuff.
I mean, it's very funny. That is quite funny, isn't it? The ultimate would be if you could slip a new book in someone's pocket when they were returning the one that had been put in their pocket so it would go off again. And I got caught by that one many a time.
Did your school library have a rack of postcards for no reason?
Yeah, it did. Did you know what send them? I would send one every day, every lunchtime, a lunchtime dispatch from the front line.
What was that?
Having a great time. Was it pictures of your school? No, obviously not.
No, it's like NHS stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah. NHS stuff? What do you mean NHS stuff? Not lovely vistas of the local county.
No, I thought NHS. I thought it was like health stuff, like, you know, make sure you touch your balls and stuff like that.
You don't have to encourage. I went to all boys school.
It was
stop touching your balls.
Now I think about it, it was like movie posters for like crap movies.
That's weird.
That was the postcards.
That is strange.
What a strange. Why do we never question things until 10 years later? Well, Glenn, that's Kings of York.
That's Kings of York, mate. Yeah.
And you don't need any more than that, do you?
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, what about this one? I think we can really dig our teeth into this one. This one's from Gru, The Funaway Bride.
Okay, nice. What's The Runaway Bride?
I don't know, but it doesn't matter. This is, why would
we can work out what it's about.
Why would a bride ban all fun at their own wedding?
John?
Yeah?
I spent 5 years working in a wedding venue.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, there's brides out there that run that thing like a military operation. I've seen weddings that are minuted.
No.
Yeah. You tell me that's fun. What's fun in minuting? Nothing, mate. What's fun about scheduling? That's why I'm a freewheeler.
Yeah.
Funaway bride. Okay, so the worry for the bride is she's marrying into a wacky family.
Oh, no.
They're really wacky.
Yeah.
And then she's...
Fart cushions.
Oh, mate.
Slinky-eyed glasses, all that stuff.
Yeah, that's vanilla compared to what they're up to. But her family are from a very... well-to-do background, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They've never met the other family before until the wedding day.
Oh,
and she
man.
Has to keep a lid on the wackiness for
the
whole day.
She's to keep the fun away.
Yeah.
Oh, crazy.
No, her own family are really wacky.
Yeah.
She's marrying into an extremely well-to-do family and she has to spend the day cutting out the wackiness.
So she was the rebel of the family, but by being the rebel of the family,
she's
she was
quite
just,
normal,
just
got like, a good education and a job.
Like scheduling, thinks that's fun.
Yeah.
Just stuff like that.
And she's marrying into this family and... the family had never met, and the husband's like, oh, you know, I like the wackiness of your family, but the husband's to be's parents are very old school, and if they see an ounce of wackiness,
and what she hasn't told them is there's like a family tradition that they do at weddings.
What is it?
That's so outlandishly wacky. Yeah. That it will just,
what is it,
immediately cause a divorce?
What is it?
I'm trying to buy time by talking here.
The cake's made out of worms. No, that's not wacky, that's more sort of horrific.
Yeah, horrible.
Couple of wacky things I had at weddings.
Yeah.
There was a medieval wedding once, so I had to dress up as a jester. I just turned up
as
a jester.
Yeah, that's what I was
saying. Lucky enough.
Convenient.
Another one.
Yeah.
This happened a few times. People would hire a Del Boy impersonator who would like walk in late to the wedding, like during the meal bit, when people were giving speeches and stuff, and he'd like storm in to the door and be like, oh, all right, sorry, I'm late. And I've like a silly cocktail on the go and like walk through the thing, causing a massive scene in his big sheepskin coat.
You saw that more than once.
I'd say that happened at least once a year.
That's so strange.
People will hire impersonators. We quite often have impersonators there.
Mm.
Isn't that weird?
That is strange.
It's kind of weird. Like the singing ones, I understand more. Like you'd get like an Elvis tribute act and stuff. You'd get, like, comedy actors. Like, we had, like, a Lou and Andy from Little Britain one.
Oh, man. Oh, mate.
It's a classy venue.
It turns out we're going to have to up our wackiness to really...
Yeah, exactly. Otherwise, these are just standard weddings that are happening.
Custard pieing the priest midway through the vows.
Yes. Because the letters of pie are in priest. And that's a fact.
You know, at the beginning where Joel says, I'm the man who puts the blah, blah, blah in blah, blah, blah. That's not like, he doesn't look that up. Joel knows the makeup of all words and what other words are contained within.
That's true. Yeah, okay, they custard pie the priest and she dives in the way and takes the pie.
Yeah.
But why would she do that? But she does do it.
The priest is lactose intolerant.
The priest is famously lactose intolerant and will die. And will die if custard touches him. But they love wackiness so much, they're prepared to kill a priest.
All for a good cause.
It's just for fun. It's just for great fun. Anyway, that was really good fun. Who sent that in?
Gru.
Gru, that was great.
Should we move?
Is that the villain from Despicable Me?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
Should we move on to ours?
Let's do ours, yeah. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Cool.
So you know, like, fairy tales?
Yeah.
They're great, right?
Oh, they're great.
And they're getting, like, they're getting redone in a kind of, like...
I was about to say, they're getting really popular.
Guys, listen out for fairy tales. They're going to be big in the next few years. No, they're all getting redone into kind of gritty Disney films and stuff.
Yeah,
and I was just thinking, what's another well that we could tap into?
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, nursery rhymes.
Yes. The untapped nursery rhyme market.
Humpty Dumpty.
Horrific.
I mean, so either you do it like... So what happens with Disney and stuff is they do it in a kind of like... It's just like they try and Lord of the Rings it, don't they? That's kind of what
they're
doing.
Yeah.
Or we just use the story and plot and we put it into a totally different genre, like loads of films and stuff do with Shakespeare plays.
Yeah.
So we could have like a gritty mafia.
I'm thinking detective.
Yeah. So a noir.
Yeah.
Where he investigates
who pushed
Humpty Dumpty.
Who pushed Humpty Dumpty off the wall, yeah.
He's not going to investigate who pushed himself off.
No.
Does he die?
Yeah, they couldn't put him back together again. Isn't there a comedian who's got a whole bit about how
it's Gervais, isn't it?
It's never mentioned he's an egg.
Yeah.
That's funny.
It is really good.
Is it Gervais?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because even in this, I'm thinking it must be old
Gervais then, if it's funny.
I'm thinking...
Got some issues with the latest one, mate.
Yeah, I haven't watched it. I'm intrigued. I want to watch it to have an opinion.
Yeah, he's got a few opinions, and he wants to ram them down your throat. Do you know what would be good if he had? Jokes.
Is that your main issue? There's no actual like punchlines and stuff?
There's no jokes.
Oh.
No.
He's just chatting?
Barely. He's just reading tweets that have been added at him. It's unbelievable. the goal of the man. And I'm a huge fan.
Yeah. Joel, that meeting about the live show that we're going to have at the end of the year.
Yeah.
My original plan for the show is just us reading tweets that have been added at us.
It's not a very long show. Get in touch, guys.
Right. It's weird because, like, that joke aside, even when we were trying to make it into a gritty noir, I still couldn't not think of an egg.
You could always think of an egg. If someone says, if you say Humpty Dumpty, immediately you envision an egg.
Yeah.
It's so ingrained in us. It's ridiculous.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
So this egg man... So I think in my head it's like looking a bit like Sin City is a noir. So it's got that comic book aesthetic, which means you can get away with someone actually being an egg.
Yeah.
So we've got our main detective. And maybe it's a Sin City world in which all of the nursery rhymes exist.
Yeah, cool. What other ones are there?
I wrote some down. Jack and Jill.
That's also quite horrific.
Jack Horner.
Jack, similar injury, but not an egg.
What happens with Jack Horner? Something with a pie, isn't it?
It breaks his... Jack Horner sat in a corner thinking about...
some hay.
Some hay.
Along came a spider. He sat down beside a spider. Is that right?
Couldn't put Humpty back together again.
That's the end of the film. The noir voiceover does a mashup of all the poems.
It's like the Zodiac messages from the Zodiac Killer.
Yes!
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, shit. Like Seven. Seven uses all the...
It's so weird that you say that, mate.
Why?
Because my idea is based on Seven.
All right, let's put this one on the back burner. Let's move on to yours.
So.
Yeah.
I watched Seven for the first time.
Really?
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Spacey's in it. Yeah. I didn't realise. I was so far into the movie before he turned up.
Well, because...
There's a spoiler. Is it a spoiler?
It is. I think his being in the film is a spoiler. Like, he wasn't part of the promotion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, that's an odd one.
Yeah, so if you're going to watch Seven for the first time, be warned. I thought, this is great.
Mm.
I thought that for most of the movie. It's really, really good, isn't it?
Mm.
A really amazing film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're wimps. It's got one of the scariest jump scares.
Which bit's that?
The corpse.
Oh, God, yeah.
Horrible.
You know that they didn't tell the police officers.
No, well, the actors.
They didn't tell the actors that he was going to do that.
Oh.
So their genuine reactions. I'd ask for an increase in my fee, wouldn't you? Danger money.
I would literally excavate my bowels.
Literally?
Yeah, literally. Yeah, not metaphorically. To be fair, when people say they shit themselves, that's always metaphorically. Move on, sorry. Seven.
Not always. Every time I say it. So, that's based on the seven deadly sins.
Mm.
A kill related to every sin.
Yeah.
Got me thinking. What's another big seven in popular culture? Magpies. A kill related to every one of the magpie things. You know the magpie rhyme?
No, I don't know. Tell me.
One for sorrow, two for joy, three for a girl, four for a boy.
Yeah.
Five for silver, six for gold, seven for a secret never to be told. You don't know this?
No.
Mate! When you see a magpie, you know it's bad luck to see one magpie?
It's bad luck.
I cannot believe. This is so ingrained in everyone else in the United Kingdom apart from you. If you speak to... I thought this is such a fucking good idea, but I genuinely couldn't believe it wasn't a film. And you don't know about it.
No.
The magpie thing.
No.
If you see one magpie, you're supposed to say, hello, what? Mr. Magpie. How's Mrs. Magpie? Because you acknowledge there's another one, because one magpie is sorrow. I can't believe you don't know this. And I hear a few people saying, what if there's eight magpies? There's never eight magpies. It's just seven and one.
If you saw eight magpies, Joe would start beating one to death.
Yeah, well, I would do that. That's true. The magpie thing.
Okay.
You don't know about the magpie thing.
It rings a vague bell.
It rings a vague bell.
So, right. So, magpies. So, this is good. So, what's
so seven kills for the seven things. One for sorrow. Someone that made him really upset. One for joy. Ooh. Someone that made him really happy.
Yeah.
Three for a girl. A girl. Four for a boy. A boy.
Okay.
Five for silver.
Like three
Long
have been
John
killed.
Silver.
Three have been killed and the detective knows the thing and they're like, we're looking for a boy. Shit. It could be anyone.
And the last one's for a secret never to be told.
Yeah.
That's quite good, that
the
one,
the secret
right?
never to be told is he commits suicide.
It's him, yeah.
Yeah.
And he never reveals the kills that he made.
Yeah.
There you go. That's quite good, isn't it?
Yeah.
The magpie killer. Everyone, direct message John Abuse about not knowing about the magpie
yeah.
thing. Send him pictures of aggressive magpies.
I'll do. So when this episode goes up, let's give you guys a day to digest. So on Wednesday morning... Mm-hmm. So the day after the episode goes up, I'll do a Twitter poll. Is John an idiot? I won't even put the context. So you feel free just to call me an idiot.
Great. I'm going to share that far and wide. And who are we going to declare the winner? So we got the most legs out of Funaway Bride.
Yeah.
So I think that should be the winner.
Yes.
But then Me, Myself, the King and Irene is the best title.
Well, there's a lot. So I'd say the one that you could genuinely see at the cinema would be your one.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Most Mileage, Funaway Bride, best title. We're
like the fucking Oscars now.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Best actor in supporting category. Funaway Bride, because that got us the most minutes.
Congrats, Grew. So that brings us to the end of the show. And we know it's the end of the show because there's a rat-tat-tat at the studio door. And John, it's a solitary magpie. I got my hair cut today. Thanks for noticing. We did a whole podcast and you've not mentioned it once. It's too short, isn't it?
I was thinking about it throughout the whole episode, but it's not. Well, for one thing, Joel's wearing big studio
a big hat.
Head.
You can't see it, to be fair.
He always wears a hat. I don't know what Joel's hair looks
like.
I'm
like Johnny Baker. He wears amusing hats, doesn't he, while he's on air?
No, go on.
Whenever I get my hair cut, I always have exactly the same thought. So you know there's that moment in your haircut when it looks its worst?
Yeah.
Normally when it's just been, the sides have just been shaved.
Yeah.
And you have
I've never had the sides shaved.
Okay, so you have a bit of an overlap maybe. Will there be a point in your haircut when it looks the worst?
Okay.
And I always think, what if... So there is, right? When they've wet it and they've like done a bit, but not all of it, it'll look a bit mad, a bit like... flock of seagulls. I can see the joke you want to make is, why did you leave at that point today, Joel? But... What I always think of that exact moment is, I think, I look ridiculous for this second. I think, what if my hairdresser has a heart attack? And dies, or it just can't carry on the haircut? What's the protocol? Does one of the other hairdressers step in and finish the cut? Or do I just have to leave the hairdressers with that hairstyle? And so I always think, what's the nearest hairdresser to here that I could go for to get a top up? I think about it every single time I get my hair cut.
You think you walk into the second place and they go, heart attack? yeah, heart attack.
This is the third one today. Is that interesting? And now, every time you get your hair cut, you'll have... And everyone listening to this, every time they get their hair cut, will have exactly the same thought.
My only thing I would say is, I think my haircut looks the worst at the final bit. I always think about three quarters of the way through.
So you're worried when they're holding the mirror up, they'll keel over.
I'm like...
and then, on top of it, 7 years bad luck.
I was thinking, oh God, imagine if this is the end of the haircut. And then he goes,
that's how much,
you. He does the weird slappy thing with the brush on your
neck. Just slaps you.
He slaps your neck with the brush.
I'm getting hairier, right? And they do this thing where they put the cape over and then they put like an extra white collar around your neck. Did they do that?
Yeah, that's new.
New. Right? Well, that's weird.
Who would have thought that
it's
would
new,
be...
but it feels hundreds of years old.
Who would have thought there'd be evolution in the hairdressing
industry? I know. It feels like a Florence Nightingale style bandage around your neck, doesn't it? It's so strange. It feels like there's like some shrapnel embedded in you. Anyway, when they take that off, they're like, oh, because they've shaved all around the back and the sides of my head, right? They take that bit off and they're like, oh, just... trim a bit more off there because I've got hair sort of on my neck and now sort of on my back and they don't really know where to stop. So when they take the cape off, they sort of reveal the collar and they just sort of shave that and then sometimes it sticks out a bit and they kind of don't know where to... And so I have to take my top off.
Oh, mate, it sounds like a nightmare.
I stand naked until they remove every hair from my body and my swimming has got a lot quicker.
The other day when I got a haircut, who would have thought hairdressing would have so much... would be such a font of... just chat
content.
The other day when I got a haircut, He like cleaned up the sideburns, classic stuff, mm-hmm, right? Yeah. Cleaned up the sideburns. I've always got stubble. He cleaned up the sideburns, and then he did it with like a razor. So he just left an inch gap between my sideburns and my facial hair.
They always ask me what I want done with my
sideburns. And you say an inch gap, please.
I actually ask for a bigger gap. I say no sideburns.
Right. Joel.
Yep.
I've been away. I've been doing my research. A few weeks back, you said I'd really failed as a Frenchman.
Oh, yeah.
And so I went, I did my research. I'm holding a book like I'm going to be
it's
like
blue.
A diary.
Or should I say blue?
I got you some presents, Joel.
Oh, amazing. What'd you get me?
I got you this card.
Okay, listener, we'll take a photo of this for the old socials, but it's in the shape of a surfboard. It's actually made of sturdy wood. It's like, I feel like a mouse could probably surf on that.
Yeah.
It says, keep calm and surf, and it's doing the, wee, all right, hand emoji thing.
Which
thumb out, little finger out.
Which, I don't know if you've noticed, Joel, over the last few weeks.
You've really kind of...
I've been campaigning to get that emoji.
I've not risen to it. And on the back, it's a lovely personal note. It just says, to Joel from John. Nice. There's a few lines there for a message, but you've handily kept those blank, so I can kind of imagine what you might have said. That's good.
And I got you a second present.
That's really nice. A second present.
Yeah.
Duh. Presents.
You know, like colleagues in an office. We're like pod colleagues, and you know when they go away to a foreign country, they have to bring back like sweets from that country. So I got you some sweets.
Oh God. Man, the rules on the continent for Haribo just don't apply, do they? I've got Haribo Spicy Pick, which, I mean, there's a lovely dancing guy on the front. I really like him. He's a devil in a sombrero. He's a Mexican devil, and he's holding a chili. Are they going to be spicy sweets?
Yeah, and...
Have you ever had one?
No. And, Joel, no, just before you go dive in, look, there's a little heat rating on the back, so you should...
Oh, they've got different heats! Okay, well, I'll start low. So... Blue Lightning is the
peak.
To give you an idea of how spicy these get, Blue Lightning is the least spicy. Right, I've got no spice. Do you want
them? Yeah. Shall I try Blue Lightning as well?
Mm.
You think there's absolutely no spice?
Zero spice on the Blue Lightning. But it is right at the bottom of the thermometer. It barely registers on the magnesium. And these probably have magnesium in them. But they're extra hot and peak.
There's no...
Is the devil in the tripod.
They're not...
The devil's taking a few photos. Right, here
we go. These ones barely register on the Scoville scale. I bet you these ones...
Get yourself a dev. All right. Let's go devil. We've skipped out a few in the middle there, but appreciate eating is boring enough on a podcast. Yeah. Here we go. Time for the devil.
Okay.
Pretty fruity.
Mm.
Oh, wow. If you swallow...
Oh, tickly.
Mm. Mm. There's something there.
Tastes like a Tangfastic.
Yeah, afterwards there's a little ting on your tongue.
There's a what?
There's a ting on your tongue.
These are less... unpleasant than I was expecting. These are quite pleasant.
Like them. Yeah.
Oh, well.
Thanks, mate. Why are you disappointed that you give me a nice gift?
Yeah, I thought it really stitched you up.
I'm going to have a green one now.
Mm.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.